The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to episode 1373. This is your host, Danny Pena. And joining me for this episode, we have Pete. What's up, Pete? Peter Toledo, ladies and gentlemen. Uh-oh. All the way from across the globe. He's everywhere, by the way. All the time. Everywhere. He might be in Japan.
It's the world tour. Come on, let's just be real. It's the world tour. And I'm
seeing that's out. Mr. Worldwide right there. Mr. Worldwide Pete. It's all good. How's everything, bro?
No, we're good. Just here, home, back from another work trip in London.
Oh, nice.
I spent the week in London.
That's what I did. Must be nice.
It's not bad. It does. It pays the bills, I guess.
Yeah, right? It's all good. So good. Paris is not going to be joining us here, but stay tuned for the podcast version. There's a couple of things that I'm going to talk about there that I'm not allowed to talk about here on the live show. So just listen to the podcast and you'll see what I'm talking about. So, Pete, have you been playing at anything at all? Have you been taking a break from playing besides playing PUBG? Have you tried anything at all the past couple of days while traveling or no?
Surprisingly, I have. I think the last week, obviously when I travel, I'm not able to game as much as I'd like to. Yes, I have the opportunity to bring my Steam Deck or Switch or what have you. If it's a long haul trip, I will. If it's a short trip like this, where hour and a half to London, I won't. but honestly, since I came back on Friday night, Cyberpunk 2077 of all things. I've started diving deep into Nexus mods and trying to get it to work, trying to get mods working, right? It almost feels like back in the day when I used to play with the Android, with my Android mobile and just started modding things. I have come to the realization that getting it on Steam makes modding so much easier, just because of the versioning. I'm on the fence whether I want to reach out to Cyberpunk or to the CD Projekt Red and ask him for a Steam code to do more of the mods and stuff. But I've had it on GOG since day one. That's where all my game saves are. And I'm fairly certain I can progress them over from GOG to Steam. But yeah, that's where I've been spending. I think since about 1 o'clock till we started on the show, so 3.5 hours, jumping into missions, tweaking LUTs, which are light tables in the game to make it look realistic. When we had friends over a couple of weeks ago, we were going through YouTube on the big screen, and they were showing, and like, of course, because you know I'm on YouTube all the time. Boom, Cyberpunk, realism, 8K graphics, and they were like, what is that? And I was just like, oh, this is one of the games I play, and I just played it, and like the graphics, like the realism version. And when you get the, when you have everything right, it looks ridiculous. Like it almost looks realistic. Mm-hmm. Again, there's the uncanny valley where things you can tell are synthetic or not real. But there was a scene where they were on a motorcycle and you couldn't tell the difference.
Oh, I know exactly which video you're talking about. I've seen that also on YouTube. Yeah, so, that looks nuts too, man.
Like, I did that. I was just like, all right, good night, everyone. Y'all need to go home. You don't need to go.
you don't need anything else.
I need to go download Nexus and start pulling down mods. So,
yeah
I may just end up just buying it on Steam just for the hell of it, just to get that version of modding and realism down. Mm. And then I've also come to realize that when you start modding like that, it's primarily just for what you see on your YouTube feed. It makes gaming much less enjoyable to a sense, because you're so focused on the aesthetic and the lighting and how it looks as opposed to the actual gameplay. And there's like posing mods so you can get the right pose so that you can freeze it and go into photo mode. And then like you're in like in an action scene or like an action sequence. And again, it's all for the aesthetic. It's no longer for the gameplay. And it kind of touches on the creator aspect of it, because you want to keep tweaking and making it look better. But you kind of lose focus on the game, which is, you know, a year after it was 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was like the 1 year anniversary for Phantom Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And like you start stepping away from it. But as far as where the game is now from a gameplay, quality of your life, it's night and day. It if you haven't picked it up, and this is kind of starting to seem the norm, right? We saw this a couple of years ago with was it Hello Sky or whatever. They had a very, very highly anticipated launch, crashed down, but after a few years and a bunch of quality of life and focus improvements, the game is where it was. The game is now where we all expected it to be on day one. And I think because of the level of graphics, the level of difficulty it is to create AAA experiences like this, I think we've all talked about this in the past, let those things bake. Just stop heaping the expectations on the games or the developers, and give them the opportunity to really truly create the experience we're looking to do. Because if you play, if you've played the game enough, and I'm going through my second playthrough now of Phantom Liberty, but now with all the quality of life mods, it's night and day. It truly is 180 degree difference of where it was a year ago to now. And that's very, very similar to the original launch of Cyberpunk 2077. And again, it's indicative of the gaming industry as a whole. So when those few that come out that are, you know, just genius moments in any game, I guess Astro would be one of those, right? And it's, oh, wow, they got it first time. They're on the first shot. Don't touch it. Don't mess with it.
Yeah.
I would say if you haven't jumped onto it, either the original or Phantom Liberty, now's your time to jump on it. It's really in a good place right now.
Yeah, I think this is my third playthrough, because now I'm playing the main campaign but also doing the expansion both at the same time. Like I do like a lot of like the side quests from the previous campaign, all that stuff. So yeah, if you get the chance, Pete, try to play the expansion. That one's way shorter, you know, but it's pretty good, man. It's really, really good. It always every time I launch a game, I'm like at the last part of the campaign, the last mission. So I just go to the other things that I need to do for the expansion stuff. So it's dope. It's really, really dope. So for those who are watching later in a few minutes, if you guys have like any questions of you know, submit for fan mail, post them here on Twitch, on X, on Facebook, whatever. It wherever you're watching this, post it and I'll read it. And we'll try our best to answer the question here. We haven't done fam in a while. And if you want a little piece of cheese or salami, hit up Pete. There you go. B's showing off his nice little cheese and salami
by
there,
man. There's a charcuterie board that my wife gave me right before we went live. God bless her soul.
That's funny, man. Let's talk about this, man. Have you been reading like news here and there about like the announcements that's been going on? Because I know back in 2020, originally, when the Xbox app launched with cloud gaming and all that stuff, I remember me downloading games using my mobile app. I will go buy some games, redeem games from there. It was like a lot easier. Now, you know, a couple of years later, I had to like do everything from the, you know, website. And I feel like iOS and also Google Play, they removed that feature. They had to do that with every other company, because I think if, let's say, you buy a game through the mobile app, I think they wanted like 30% or something like that from Xbox. I think it was like Google and iOS, the same exact thing. And Xbox was like, no, we're not going to do that. So they removed it. But now it looks like, because Epic took Google to court, it looks like where now there's a way still, now they're going to add the mobile store through the Xbox app, and also cloud gaming is also going to be there now, where if you have, let's say you want to stream a game that's not available on Game Pass, but you purchase that game, now you could also stream it starting next month. But it's not going to be all Xbox games. It all depends on the publisher, if they're going to allow it or not. So I'm going to give you a perfect example that happened to me a couple years back, where I downloaded Tetris Effect Connected through different places, right, from Xbox console, Game Pass, and also the PC. But I was trying to stream it through my mobile device, and because it was also a lot of those games were also available through the cloud, but it looks like the publisher didn't want Tetris Effect Connected to be streamed through mobile. It was only allowed only on console and PC. So it all depends on the publisher if they're gonna allow that or not, you know. So I'm excited because there's games that I feel like I will love to play this on a mobile device. And maybe in the future, if Xbox releases a handheld device, I think this is gonna be another option where I don't have to download the game if I'm like in a hotel, because it's gonna be extremely slow. But I could stream it through a Wi-Fi device, you know. It's gonna be a lot easier in the future, I think. I think this is gonna be a game changer for consumers, to now they have more options to play all these games on different devices now, and because of this move, you know. So what you think of the announcement of, you know, Xbox mobile app and all this stuff that's launching in November, the streaming your own games through the app too and everything? Like, I think it's cool, in my opinion, but I'd love to hear what you have to say about it too, Pete.
So I guess very similar to where we started the conversation off, right, with Cyberpunk, mm-hmm. and other games that get better through time. Same thing, yep, for Project X Cloud, right? It was supposed to launch in 2020, like you said. Mm-hmm. They said that it would support your game, your whole internal game catalog, you know, after a few years. But look, tech is hard. It doesn't always work day one. Sometimes like you have that unicorn moment and everything just works. But for the most part, a lot of this is trial and error, and you can't account for everything. Sometimes, you know, you just, things pop up that just prevent it. Right. Some of these are more on the technical side. Some of these are on the licensing side, marketplaces. Mm-hmm. Again, the whole Epic versus Apple conversation. I do have a concern, though, knowing how the Google Play marketplace, A, is rife with malware and other ne'er-do-wells, we'll call them, right? Other malicious script-ridden applications that don't work. And you could potentially see some issues as a result of people just trying to get in there. Mm-hmm. You can root your Google device. You can sideload applications. And as a result, I'm curious how Microsoft is going to prevent the piracy aspect of it, right? I sit there as, you know, in my 20 plus years now of being in IT, cybersecurity is just nonstop. So how does Microsoft accommodate or account for that? Does that mean now they're going to start inserting DRM into your personal device and you have to allow that?
Pause on that one. This was going to be stream and you could download the game. Actually, you could buy the games, but it will be available on your PC and Xbox. It's not like you're going to play through the Google
directly
device.
On there. Okay.
Through the Android. Yeah. It's more going to be like that, you know? So the Xbox is not going to, they're not going to do that. But hold on. Now the stuff with like King, that's a different conversation. Cause that's actually downloading games
directly to
the
device. Right.
Yeah. But that's a mobile app game. That's a little bit different, you know? So
if it's purely via streaming, I don't have as much of a concern or an issue about it. It's more so on the infrastructure side, right? Does the US have the capability in all of the areas where this opportunity is going to be out, wherein consumers are going to be able to enjoy it as it's intended, right? And as I sit here in the middle of Europe and I'm flexing now with this, with a 25 up, 25 gig down network, you know, network connection at my house, mm-hmm. for the equivalent of $65, $70 a month. You can't get that in the States for the most part, right? Most of the country is still somewhat ridden down by a DSL connection. Yes, you could get things like Starlink or, you know, you can get fiber to the home and things like that. I just hope that the network requirements for something like this aren't too stringent, and then they can't, then consumers can't really truly enjoy it the way it's intended.
Mm-hmm.
I do love the fact that you're able to now bring your much in the same cases like your Stream Deck or your Steam Deck, sorry, to be able to bring your catalog over whenever you want, play offline and play whenever and however you want. I'd like to see how the Game Pass conversation grows as a result, right? I know you mentioned you're not going to have first party games day one or day and day. You may have one or two, but not all of them. And it kind of goes counter to the overall Game Pass conversation. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure they'll probably focus on some of the lighter games, I would assume. Again, I don't have an at Microsoft.com account, so I can't.
P is all Steam. No, but let me mention this, man. I know that I think this is going to be a great move, but the thing that Xbox needs to do a better job is the messaging of, you know, let's say people don't have Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, you know, are they going to have access to stream their games that they purchase, you know, things like that, you know, so that will be interesting to see what they're going to do in the future when it comes to that stuff. You know, I feel like having a bunch of different tiers is not, I feel like it's not enough, because I feel like that's a little bit too confusing for like the average person that wants to get, you know, wants to like play their games and all that stuff. Or, you know, for those that maybe have a Samsung TV or Fire Stick device that want to stream these games, to have the you know, Xbox Game Pass and all that stuff, do they need an Ultimate? Do they need the lower tier? Like, it's just, it's a lot going on, you know, and I think they need to do a better job with the messaging and stuff. So yeah, but we'll see what's going to happen with Xbox in the future when it comes to that, man. But I'm excited to see some changes, you know. It's been years in the making, honestly, so this is going to be really cool. Now, Pete, here's the news all the way from Europe. It looks like Astrobot has outperformed virtually every non-Mario platformer in a decade in Europe. Have you even thought about playing Astrobot? Because you don't have a PS5, but Astrobot is effing amazing, Pete. It's so good. And I'm glad it's making... It's selling, you know. That's really, really cool to see, man.
So I saw the the lovely work your wife did a couple of weeks ago with her videos on social and on YouTube and stuff like that. So I've been following in the background. No, I still don't have a PlayStation. I'm still waiting for Astrobot to come over to PC so I can enjoy it.
That's going to happen. Give it like a year.
Please.
PlayStation. Give it a year. And honestly, I will replay it on PC and probably going to be like ultra wide screen, better graphic. Oh, bro, I'm all in. I'm all in.
But that doesn't mean I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a matter of time. Again, I want to, because I kind of feel bad that I don't have an opportunity to be on that day and date train with some of these things. But I don't know if the wife would appreciate more tech in the living room. She keeps trying to get me to get rid of it.
It's a lot. It's a lot. I don't blame you, man. I don't blame her. I don't blame her at all.
I'd love to, but I think she has better plans for our living room as opposed to having that.
Yeah, no, I hear you. No, but I highly recommend it. I think that game is going to win a lot of Game of the Year awards. You know, it's pretty up there. It's contender of the Game of the Year. That's for sure. Let me tell you, the past month, and people don't probably know this, man, but the past month, my God, I'm getting colds like almost every day. Actually, multiple times a week, I've been getting colds of games that's coming out this month or some maybe in November. But, bro, it's intense, man. It's way too many games. Actually, a couple weeks ago, I went to an event and somebody from, you know, PR company was asking me, like, yo, how the hell do you guys have time to play all these games? Like, how you guys work that out? I'm like, look, man, you know, we're very small, so, you know, not everybody has the time to review games, but I have to be selective, like, what to play, what not to play, you know, because, you know, I'm a dad. I'm also have a lot of things going on with work and all that stuff. It's a lot, man. It's a lot. You remember last year? Last year was even worse. Last year was way too many games, man. Oh, my God. Great games, you know?
And I know we don't often do this, but there's a great question in the chat from BGamer90. It's a good stat for sure, but how many non-Mario platformers can people name? I mean...
Psychonauts. I'm trying to think of another one. Non-Mario game.
Mega Man 11?
Ratchet and Clank.
Super Lucky's Tale?
Wait, non-Mario game?
Yeah, non-Mario. So when you say non-Mario, does it have to be a Mario one, or can you do anything within the same Nintendo ecosystem, right?
Yeah.
So Mega Man, Kirby.
Mega Man is not a platformer, though. We're talking about non-Mario game platformer. Actually, you know what? Let me go back to that article, and I'll tell you which one is.
So Ori? I mean, now
Ori's a good one.
Or is a good one. Super Lucky's Tale is really good. Psychonauts 2. Ratchet and Clank. Would you call Ratchet and Clank a...
Yes.
A platformer?
Okay. Yeah, that's a platformer. So like Sonic Game, Sonic Frontiers, Crash 4, which came out for Activision. Let me see what other one.
Super Meat Boy.
But that's like an indie. That's not like a AAA.
Does it matter? It's still a platformer. It's still a good platformer that people still enjoy to this day.
It is, but I'm more of thinking, because based on this article, it's more of like the AAA platformer, you know, that type of thing. You know, but I know Sonic is up. That's like, is up there, Sonic. You know, and Sonic sells. Sonic sells a lot of copies, bro. Yeah. So this is more like a Sonic thing.
Shovel Knight? I believe.
Yo, you're mentioning a lot of indie. I'm thinking AAA platformers.
Why does it have to be AAA platformers?
Yes. Because remember, the AAA platformer sells a lot. So Sonic, Crash, you know, that type of thing. So, yeah. Damn, Pete. What's wrong with you?
It's not always about the big guys. You gotta like shine some light on.
Hey, look, the article doesn't mention anything about indie games. It's all platformers, man. AAA.
Let me live, man. Just let me
go read.
Let me have
read, Pete. Read.
No, it doesn't mention anything about AAA titles in here.
By the way, another topic here that I'm very excited.
Change the subject, yeah.
I'm very excited about this one because I think you probably played this back in the early 90s. Remember Shinobi?
Of course, I remember Shinobi.
Yo, classic Sega Genesis era. Ooh. So it looks like. Yo, Sega, the past couple of weeks have been announcing a lot of big things, man. Yo, Sega, I see you, man. So it looks like Universal Pictures and Sega they just announced they're working on the Shinobi. Is it a movie? Yeah, actually, a Shinobi movie in the future. That's huge. I'm very excited about that, man. So is this going to be a actual movie in theaters? Is this gonna be like on the streaming service? I don't know yet, but bro, I'm excited. It's been so long we seen anything about Shinobi, you know. And the original games were awesome, man. Really, really dope playing that, man. You know, I think the last Shinobi game I think was in 2010, 2011, something like that. I think it was called actually right here. It was a 3DS title. Mm-hmm. Whoa, you did just mention Sega CD. Sega CD was now around 2011.
I know.
Yo, but I'm excited. I'm very excited. I'm hype about this, man. What you think about it, Pete? What'd you think? Because last year with Sega, they announced like just the radio and all this stuff.
On the
you
way.
Know? So
I don't know if it makes sense. And the reason I say that is because Hollywood today, as well as game developers or game publishers, mm-hmm. are going to want to use something like this as a jump off for marketing. Obviously, taking advantage of like Sonic and that whole world, leveraging somebody as huge as Keanu Reeves, who started to come full circle from the beginning of the show now with Cyberpunk. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have Keanu Reeves playing the protagonist as Shadow, yeah, you have a really good opportunity to push the boundaries for marketing. I don't know if Shinobi is that same level, me personally, right? I think if they do something like this, mm-hmm. it's going to be a direct to Amazon or Netflix. I don't think we see this on the big screen. I don't think we see this in an IMAX. Now, prove me wrong. Make it look good. Don't have Uwe Boll do the movie.
Yeah. Well, I tell you,
who understands the story, who understands the lore. Get me someone like the guy who did like season one of Daredevil, right? Get someone amazing who can do. I mean, so my understanding is from Deadline's report, Sam Hargrave, who did Extraction on Netflix with Chris Hemsworth.
Have you watched that? Have you watched that or
maybe produced by Mark Platt and Adam Siegel, who co-produced Scott Pilgrim versus the World and Drive. Platt mm-hmm. also produced La La Land and the live-action Little Mermaid and Snow White.
Now, it
looks like you've got decent production and direction. But again, it's all going to be about the story and whoever writes this script.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
we have examples such as Super Mario Brothers movie and Barbie and Inside Out, other things like that. Obviously, Inside Out's not a video game, but when you have like
it's not a video game. No. But
Barbie
I'll tell you something though, Pete.
Top grossing movies over the last couple of years, maybe.
Mm-hmm. You know, they announced Sega announced Jet Set Radio, Crazy Taxi, Shinobi, also was one of them. Golden Axe, I believe, too. So it looks like Shinobi, the actual game, is going to come out in the future. You know, close to the party when the project is probably going to come out. You know, that type of thing. So usually, companies now have been working with a lot of filmmakers, or if they're working on like a TV series, they will always release a game either the same time or close to the time of the project releases, you know. So like, I think, let me give you an example, like Arcane, that helped out for a lot of people to download League of Legends, you know, Halo, even though a lot of people didn't like Halo's TV series, that's also helped potentially like people to buy the game through there. Or like Sonic, now Sonic Shadows Generations is coming out now. Later this year, the new Sonic movie is coming out too. You get what I'm saying? So there's always going to be those crop promotion of movie, TV, and games, you know. So I'm excited to see what they have planned with the. I know I seen they showed a couple of gameplay clips of Shinobi. I don't know if it's going to be like an old school way or they're going to have like a new next gen graphics or all that stuff. We'll see. I don't know, but it's coming. It's coming. So. Anything else from this, Pete? No?
Nope.
Okay, it's all good.
My tech issues pissed me off.
It upset me. It's all good. It's all good. All right, so here's what we're going to do, guys. I would love to do fan mail. I don't know if there's like anybody that's watching through Twitch or on X. If you guys have any questions, we'll give you a shout-out. We'll read it over here. And we'll talk about it. So let's take a couple questions before we wrap it up. Can we take a couple questions, Pete, or what?
Sure.
Yeah? Yeah. So in the meantime, guys, post your questions, all that good stuff here. And either Pete or I will read it, talk about it, all that good stuff. Now, Pete, this is an old message. I think this is from our Discord.
Uh-oh.
Let's see if I could read it. It's pretty long. I'm trying to like make it short here. Okay, this is old. This is like from back in August. Hey, this is from Vision. Hey, GTR crew, just wanted to ask what you guys think about Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024. Are you guys going to pick it up? Now, you guys probably got to see my content a few weeks back. Rihanna and I, and also Paris, we got invited to check out Flight Sim 2024. We went to Grand Canyon, you know, we got to play the game, and then we actually flew a jet, which was nuts. But we did a preview there. Make sure to check it out. I like Flight Sim. You know, I started playing it when it came out on consoles. I started playing it through the consoles version for the last game. And then I went back to the PC because that's when I purchased my PC stuff here. So it looks great. I love it. And now technically right now, just a couple of days ago, I got the Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024, and this is a tech alpha. It's not the retail version. The difference with this one is, of course, they're going to be testing out the servers and all that stuff. Now, the file size, I believe it's like 26 gigs, and the rest of the game, what happens every time you launch it and you go to, like, let's say Mexico, when you start your career, they do everything through the cloud. So in the previous game, you have to have the whole game downloaded, which is like 100 and something gigs, and it was a lot, especially with all the updates and everything. With this one, it's a lot smaller. The only issue that I have, and I hope they'll fix that once the main game comes out, it's just takes a little bit time when it comes to, like, you know, when you're launching in a country for like your career mode or something like that. It takes a couple seconds here. It's minor things, you know. But overall, the game is a lot of fun. The difference with this one, there is no challenges mode in this one. This one they have that off, disabled. But you could try out the photography mode, career mode, which is a lot of fun, and a couple other things also, like you can fly anywhere too. So that's about it so far, but it's still a tech alpha. It's not the retail version, but I'm excited to play the main game once it comes out. P, have you tried Flight Sim at all, the 2020 version? Are you excited to try out or curious to try the PC
from the
version
original one? Yes, but not the 2024 tech demo that you guys are doing. I am more curious to know how paranoid or petrified your wife was during Lent.
She was. I think I was more nervous than her because I'm. A lot of people don't know about this, but I'm like terrified of heights since I was a kid. You know, so when she took off, actually, okay, this is what happened. We got to the private airport. And I thought, okay, well, we're going to have a pilot. He's going to show us around. I'm like, oh. And he goes, all right. So you guys ready? We had to sign a lot of paperwork, you know, waivers and all that stuff. And the pilot was like, all right. So who's going to be first flying? And I looked at Ree. Ree looked at me. We're like, wait. We're going to take off? Like, one of us is going to take off? And Ree was like, I'll do it. I'm like, oh, my God. All right. So we went inside. Everything. He was telling her what to do. Blah, blah, blah. So she takes off. Yo, she did everything on her own. She was fine until once we were up in the air. That's when she got a little bit nervous. And the pilot took over. He was like, hey, just put the autopilot. We'll be fine, you know. But Ree actually took off. And the thing was, we were already mentally prepared because we were playing the game an hour before that, you know. So we were actually playing the actual controller for Flight Sim and everything, you know?
Yeah, so but then, it's a little different though.
It's a little different. But at least it gave her that No. It was not with that controller though. It wasn't the actual like the pilot controller. Yeah. Okay. That type of thing. So it helped a little bit for, you know, to be prepared for this one, you know, for this a real one. But so then I took over. Actually, wait. Before I even went to the front, I was like, I'm telling everybody, yo, I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I could do it. I'm terrified right now. Like, I'm nervous. I'm shaking. You know, because here's the thing. Once we were up there, Pete, yo, and they warned us in the beginning, the turbulence was ridiculous. Now, it was like a smooth flight. I'm like, I'll go to the front. But, yo, it was shaking a lot. Remember, we were flying through the Grand Canyon, so there's a lot of, you know, holes and all that stuff in the air, you know, a lot, the air was just popping out of nowhere, you know, so we had a couple people telling me, look, man, this is once in a lifetime opportunity. You gotta go for it, Danny. You're not gonna do this again. And I'm like, you know what, it is true. There's no other opportunity coming up like this. So let me just do it. So I went to the front and I did my thing, and I was fine. Like, you know, but it got bumpy, man. It got really, really bumpy once I went up there, man. You know, so I think I was more nervous than Ree, way more nervous than Ree. But Ree killed it. She did phenomenal, man, taking off the plane. She probably just tell you more.
Did you guys swap places midair? Or did you mid-air. Both get to do a takeoff and landing?
Midair. So Ree took off. I flew mid-flight. And then one of our other friends, she's an actual pilot. She landed without the help of the co-pilot. Yeah. Yeah. So she did her thing. She actually landed at that airport because she had her plane there. She came from the East Coast and landed there. Yeah,
so were you up in the air at the same time as Paris? Or like everybody?
No,
was...
Paris went the day before, I believe. Yeah, he went the day before and we went the next day. But the difference is we had the blue jets, like it had the sticker there of like Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024, you know. With the ones that I seen, the picture that I seen from that group, it was a different color. Same jets, it was just different color. And here's the thing. A very small group of people got to fly that jet. Very small group of people. So we had maybe, let's make believe we had like 30 people at the event. Maybe only like 9 got an opportunity to be part of this.
So were you guys in a like a twin-engine Cessna type thing or in a jet? Because the jet,
an actual jet,
and a Cessna are two different things. Like, did you have like propellers? Or were you like in a jet?
We were actually in a jet. Actually, let me show you the Ree. I know Ree's right here watching. Ree, what's the name of the jet that we flew? I can't remember the top of that. It's been a while. Let me see if I go to. Good. I want to show you the type of jet that we flew. And Reed, please help me out here because I don't remember. I can't remember the name of it. Give me 1 second. And for those who are listening, it's not going to be like this. All right, Sirius Vision S50 Jet. So let me post it here. Where you want me to post it, Pete, so you can look at it?
No. It's just... Okay, so it's, okay. I see a Sirius Vision SF-50.
Yeah, so that's the jet that we flew. Yeah. So that one, they consider that as like the Tesla jet, let's say, because it has a lot of features that will help you fly and all that stuff. So they use this a lot for beginners to fly. So, but I asked a question. I think I mentioned this in the episode that we recorded. I asked how much is a jet like that, you know, if somebody wants to buy it. It's $3.7 million. So I don't know if you guys plan to buy one. There you go. $3.7 million. It's dope. It's really cool, man. It's really, really cool. I think I would love to try that again.
Now that's super, super cool.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a great experience, and I really, really enjoyed playing Flight Sim 2024, man. Can't wait to try it out more once the official retail version comes out.
You know? Right. So, yeah. Does this now mean that y'all are going to invest in a full, like, full sim kit, HOTAS, the whole nine, or no?
No, I think, no, because of space. that's about it, you know? So, a fly stick, I mean, it does make a huge difference. That's right. Reed was saying that it makes a huge difference. The only thing is just space, man, you know? So, we'll see. Any other question, guys? Post them here. You can post them on X, Twitch. Post them, and we'll answer your bet. But that was a great question about Flight Simulator. But if we actually move, we got a bigger house, then yeah, for sure. But right now, yeah, there's no way we could do that.
Gotcha.
It's a lot. This is a great question for Pete. And this is also from Vision. Hey, and this all was on Discord. Hey, GTR, last week I have been migrating my accounts to passkeys and passwordless for Microsoft accounts. I just wanted to ask you guys what you think about this new security technology. Are you guys going to migrate to this new system? Pete, what you think? Because you're an IT guy in Paris, too.
This is actually more tailored towards Paris, but I'll take a stab at it.
Yeah, sure.
I don't think they'll ever replace the full-on password manager. It just makes logging on a little more secure because it's tied to an actual authenticator, right? There's things such as like a YubiKey that you could use. You can actually synchronize them. If you have apps like Bitwarden or LastPass, I think they're most of the bigger ones. Most of the bigger ones have become kind of like all-encompassing where they're kind of tied to or they now accommodate passkeys. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we'll ever see a place where we actually see the replacement of passwords or password managers in favor of passkeys. Mm-hmm. Like I said, most major companies, especially from like Apple and most major tech companies, we'll say, already support them. I know Google has been supporting them for a while now, Windows and Android, et cetera. But I don't know if that's something that we'll ever do, right? So in a nutshell, you could use, and if you've got a Google account, your mobile device or your tablet usually ends up being your passkey manager, right? In that regard, you try to log into something with Google, and it's like, we've sent an authentication request to your device. Please approve it there. That's the concept of a password key. But ultimately, your password has to reside somewhere. What happens if you forget your password because you haven't logged into your Google account in 2 years and they do a full system reset, much akin to what happened just a few weeks ago, right? Danny, I sent that over to you. Started. What happens when you don't remember the password? Then you've got to try to hope that one of your other devices has, you know, still is tied or whatnot. So as long as in the same vein as like your two-factor authentication where you've got authentication keys stored somewhere, as long as you have them somewhere and then readily accessible when you need them, you'll be fine. Perfect example this weekend, or I think it was Thursday or Friday, I was trying to log into a website and I couldn't. Tried to use my mobile, wouldn't work. Got home, it worked on my computer. So I had to uninstall the password manager, which is Bitwarden, for me.
Yeah.
And it, after I reinstalled and I reauthenticated, it worked fine. But you know, I had to go through the whole process of uninstalling, reinstalling, reauthenticating for it to finally actually work for me in a remote perspective. Had I been in a very, very serious situation where maybe they needed to authenticate me for something, either a transaction or to prevent theft or fraud, that could have been an issue because it would have gone on for an extra 24 hours until I got home. Thankfully, that wasn't the case. But to answer your question, it is good. It will be helpful and beneficial to you. I think for me, as long as you have something in line or online that will help you with passkey and password management. Again, most of the major applications do it. Dashlane, 1Password, LastPass, etc. As long as you have those and you're able to shift those over and be able to do it securely and ideally much less, because I know applications like LastPass and Dashlane, etc. charge a lot. I would say if you can, do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they are beneficial. They will help.
Yeah. Yeah, I think and it's hard to keep up when it's like so many logins, Pete. It's like a little too much. You know, I remember, and I know people will use their same password, and that's not recommended. It's good to change it up, man, for different logins, man. You know,
I would say when you have one of those bigger ones, it makes it a little easier. As important as it is, I would say maybe dedicate a few hours to it. Go through there, review it. Many of the apps will offer you a way to review your current passwords and see where they are, if they've been compromised or if they've been found on the dark web. If you can somewhat audit your passwords, like if you have a password manager, whether it's the one built into Google Chrome or Safari, or if you have a third party one, maybe even take into consideration checking out an open source one like KeePass or Bitwarden. Bitwarden does a great job. I support that one because it's less than LastPass, which I used for the last 7-8 years. Mm-hmm. And I actually flipped it over and I got my wife on it. So if something happens, she can log in and she can do whatever is necessary from a family perspective. Take a look.
All right. Well, thanks for that great question, Vision. Actually, there's another one here. By the way, so this another one. This another question here from Zampao. This is more for me, Pete. Will you do another flight to the Dominican Republic with Flight Simulator 2024? Here's the thing. That was a very long trip. So for those that don't know, when the console version of Flight Simulator came out, I flew from Los Angeles in real time, from Los Angeles all the way to Punta Cana. And that was a very long flight, but it was cool talking to everybody. People were telling me what to do. There was like another storm coming up, like, hey, Danny, be careful, blah, blah, blah. And every time we would pass like a landmark, we were so curious, like, what is this? You know, so hopefully we could do that again. We'll see. It is kind of hard because, you know, we have a baby now. It's just time. So we'll see. Fingers crossed. Hopefully I can do it. If not, we'll figure something out. Maybe I could do a short flight. We'll see. Thirsty Panda Pete says, just so you guys know, my daughter just offered GTRT. What was that? What was that about? Do you explain?
He does answer. She held up an empty teacup to the TV where I'm watching you guys. She's 19 months, lol. It was cute.
That's very cute. That's very cute. That is very, very cute. Sense. Yeah. Well, thank you. Hello.
Thank you, little baby thirsty panda.
Yeah. all right. So maybe we'll have one more question. Let me see. Let me look at fan mail. You want to read that one, Pete? It's a little long. It's from John Wiki, fan mail, Discord. You don't have to read the whole thing, but okay. You can make it short. Yeah, let's see what. I mean, I feel like we talked about this, but I mean,
we'll do it again. Recent conversations about Xbox moving more and more away from game exclusivity, leading to conversations about the possibility of moving away from consoles, makes me think about my Xbox console library. I've invested thousands of dollars in the last 20 years, and I know some of them can be accessed on PC, but for older titles, that doesn't seem to be the case. If they move away from consoles or make a Windows console / handheld, what happens to the library? What do you think Xbox should do? Convert those games and be accessible on Windows? Or do you think people like me will be SOL or poop out of luck? If you really think about it, the conversation from earlier today kind of solves that. If you are flipping from one to another, I know, Danny, you've been a big proponent of game preservation. I know. I questioned this last year when we were online, asking why you felt it was so important. And you had very valid reasons for it, right? You are one of those that love to go back and revisit those experiences. And plus, you got a baby. In 5 or 6 years, you're gonna hand little baby V a controller, and you'll be like, "Let's play the games that mommy and daddy love, right?" And exposure to those new experiences that raised you as a child. Which I'm not saying that they raised you in the same vein that your parents raised you, but those are experiences that led you down the path of loving and following up on video games for your entire life. So it does make sense to have a way to ensure that you can revisit those experiences, whether it's yours, you personally, whether it's a family member or the child of a friend or loved one. So it is important in that regards to be able to preserve them. Now, who is going to be the caretaker for those titles? I think if you've paid for them in one way, shape, or form, you should be able to play them offline. I know a lot of games now have some form of DRM built into it, or you have to log into an online service that allows you to do it. So that's why I think game launchers such as GOG make sense, right? You know, you can buy them from them, and you have them permanently in your library. You can play them forever as long as you've got the machine that can support it. Emulations also kind of run that route, but that's when you start getting into that tricky, dicey piracy conversation. Things like MAME, which are online arcades that you can use at home, that use emulation that allow you to play those old arcade games at home, are another way of preserving those memories and those games. But yeah, stick if you're focused on purely your Xbox library, I would start really considering Xbox Game Pass, if not already, and this upcoming cloud gaming, you know, xCloud concept, because that might be the way for you to continue playing those purchased titles later on in the future.
Yeah, like right now, this is crazy. I have 400 games on Steam. That's all 100% digital. There's no physical in that. So 400 games. Now, some of them, I got it for review. Some of them, I purchased it maybe because it was just cheap and never got to play it. That happened too. Because I know there's a lot of people that we know we've done that, you know. So when they have like the Steam sale and all that stuff. But here's the issue that I have with, let's say, a company like Nintendo, let's say. There was a lot of games that I purchased on the original Wii and also on the Wii U, but those stores doesn't even exist anymore, you know. So like, there needs to be a way for people to go back and download those games because it's part of gaming history, you know. So when you make it harder for people And I'm talking about strictly games that just comes out digital, because there's some that it was out physical. You can still buy like on different places, the eBay, GameStop, and all that stuff. You need to make it an easier way for the consumers to go back and purchase those games. You know, if people are very curious to buy. Now, the thing that we're going to see with the new change of like the, let's say the Switch 2, or Paris calls it the Super Nintendo Switch. That's a ridiculous name, but he said that's it, right? Is, and this is based on rumors, whatever games that you purchase previously through the original Switch, when you log in, you could also re-download those same games on this new console / device in the future. So we'll see. Now, there's games that came out on the original Xbox that doesn't exist. You can't buy it. You can't buy it like through stores or anything like that. It's going to be a lot harder to buy. So you have to like really, really dig. I know there was one that they only made a certain amount of physical copies, and that's it. It's not available anywhere else. I can't remember the name of the game, but this was like in the early days of the original Xbox. So if there's a way to buy these games physically or digitally in the future, make it easy for everyone, man. Even if the console doesn't exist. Because this, again, is part of history. It's part of history, man. You know, and imagine you, Pete, working on a game that you worked on for like 4 or 5 years, and it went up, and it got delisted. Then what? How are you going to put that in your resume? You worked on that game for so long. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people spend months and years working on this product, and it's nowhere to be found. Like, I'm against that. I'm really against it. Like, perfect example, like right now, and we're going to get to see this in the future, probably they're going to come back. Like, Concord, that's a recent digital game that came out, and also physical, too. People bought it. You can't even play that online anymore, you know, until the free version comes out. You get what I'm saying? So, we'll see. We'll see what happens, man, in the future. But, got to make it easy for everyone, man. There's a lot of classic iconic games that needs to be out there still, man. You know,
see, so Rihanna mentions not to mention multiplayer games that literally cannot work without online connection and a healthy player population. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that all depends on a little bit of forecasting and some kind of effort for preservation. If you have a game, look, we'll use my favorite game, PUBG, right? We're 7 years into this. At some point, Krafton's going to either shift to PUBG 2, or they're going to shut off the servers if they don't see a player base that's worth sustaining that model. Data centers aren't cheap. I believe our boy Paris said something similar to this in another post earlier on Twitter. Data centers aren't cheap, and neither are the services needed or required to have those run, whether it's network connection, power, or internal infrastructure. So at some point, those multiplayer experiences have to be done somewhere. Are you gonna load up a Minecraft server? That's much easier. Or loading up a Roblox server? That's much easier than trying to load up something for something as large and as expensive as like a PUBG or a Battlefield or any of those other larger games, right? Because you know you're gonna need the network. You're gonna need the network bandwidth and infrastructure to support that. So. Mm-hmm. How do we support the Ghost Recon Advanced Warfare? How do we support the, you know, Rainbow Six Vegas type experiences? I'm trying to draw back on games where I started playing, you know, when I started jumping into competitive gameplay. How and where do we bring those things back? Or
yeah, that's a great question. Bring
them to a point where they're playable so that others can see and experience them in the same way or vein that we did back in the day, right? And when I say back in the day, we're talking, you know, just under 18, 20 years ago when, you know, like you and I first started out in this whole journey. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? How do you let people see or experience that same, you know, that same experience that we all did? Can't even play. I mean, thanks to things like the Master Chief Collection, you can actually play those now, but those initial online experiences of like, what was it? When you run around with the Griffball.
Oh, Griffball. Yeah.
They're almost gone now, right? Opportunity experiences like Blur, where our community exploded because we loved playing Blur. It's gone because the game is no longer available and servers are offline, right?
Yeah. And that was an iconic game too, man. And then it didn't get a lot of support.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. So that was a great question, by the way. Great question. So we have another question. It might be the last one. This is from Zan Pao. Question for Danny. How do you know that Gamertag Radio will be a success? Do you have a backup plan in case it didn't work? No, there was no backup plan. It was like just straight up. If it works, it works. If not, not. So I just did my thing and it just blew up. It just took a while. It just took a long, long time. And here's the thing too, guys. Now, in February, actually, let me go back. January is going to be 24 years that I started content creation. And that's with PSO Radio, Game Voice. I was like the early, early days. February is going to be the 20th anniversary of GTR. I don't know what I'm going to do next year. I have no idea because I've just been slammed with stuff here, you know, with work and just enjoying my time. Recording with the guys and stuff like that, you know. So GTR to me, it's something that I just love to do. You know, it's not a GTR is not my full time gig. You know, the stuff that I have with Ree, with our business there, that's our full time, and so on. You know, but GTR is more of like I just want to continue having conversation with P in Paris and now with Ree. We could, you know, just talk about games and go to events and cover them and all that stuff, you know. So I would love to do something pretty cool for the 20th anniversary that it'll be something big for GTR and maybe do something where the community also could be part of too. Like, I don't know yet. One thing I don't want to do because I talked about this with P. I don't want to do like no community vibes because I know people have been telling us for years to do that again. That was just so stressful. I don't want to go through that ever again. That was just too much for us. Because if you think about it, it was only three of us, P, right? Handling all that. It was you and me and Mandy. That's it. Mm-hmm. It was just a lot, you know? So, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that people are still supporting GTR. You know, we're not. How do I say this? When it comes to like the video side, I know we started a little late, and there was different reasons because of that. We're not like an IGN or like those people that have like studio and all that stuff, and you know daily streams. We don't have the time for that. But I think what we're doing now, I'm still happy with it. You know, so very, very happy with it, and I can't wait to see what happens next, man. I feel like next year is going to be a very big year, not only for gaming, but also for our show. I hope everything goes through. That's what I will say. The only thing I will say. I hope a lot of things goes through to continue to celebrate GTR next year. So, but yeah, I had no backup plan. No backup plan. There was a lot of people that joined at the beginning when I first launched the show, and because of different reasons people stop or you know people just had more responsibility, less time to record GTR, and every time there was someone that was really known part of the GTR crew and they had to leave because they for different reasons, people will hit us up via email. Oh, that's it, I don't want to listen to the show anymore. Oh, it's going to be different now, this and this and that. And I'm like, I'm already used to that stuff multiple times. I'm like, you know, it is what it is. You're going to come back. I know that for a fact. You're going to come back. So that happens a lot. That happens a lot, you know. So a couple years back, a lot of people don't know this, but a couple years back, I was thinking of stopping from my side. And Pete and Paris, they were going to continue. And it was because I was going to... At that time, I almost got a job in the game industry. So a lot of companies will not let you record and do content like that. You know what I'm saying? So That was the only time I'm like, oh, I think I have to stop because I'm getting a job in the industry, you know. So it didn't went through, so we still continue doing, you know, our thing. But now with the business that I have with Re, which we do a lot of media consulting gigs and all that stuff, we still have the opportunity to still create content and still have fun with this, man, you know. So anything you want to say, Pete, about that?
I mean, it's different from me, right? Because I never really, I didn't have, like Paris and I both, yes, I'm speaking for you, Paris, so tough if you're listening. We both had full-time gigs, right? So we were fortunate enough to have something already in place, mm-hmm. kind of like a safety net in the event that something like this either blew up or failed miserably, right? We never knew. And, you know, we didn't have an idea as to what was going to happen. Yeah. So, you know, in a sense, we were lucky. You know, we were fortunate to have, you know, well-paying gigs in an industry that supported us and allowed us to be successful. And at the same time, do this on the side without impacting that, right? Some employers could have seen that as, oh, well, you're doing this and you're not able to focus full-time on your day-to-day, so you either have to stop or do this. And that's not fair to us as an employee. So, again, thankful that, you know, we had that. But there were times, I mean, look, everybody knows the story about Paris, right? He was on his own. He decided to do it on one show. We were like, damn, fire's still there. Let's do it.
He was retired at
the time. Right. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm retired too. Right. You know, he took, you know, it was me calling him at 2:30 in the afternoon. Hey, what are you doing? Hey, let's do this again. But you, this time you as full-time part of the team. Right. And then, you know, I think we know about one, but it's technically been two, right? One, I was burned out and I just needed time off and I just needed to refocus on family and me. And the second time, obviously me moving here to Switzerland
I thought it was not going to work out. Like, there's no way we're going to do this with Pete over there, but it's working out. It's working out, you know? And look, we're not really making money with GTR. Like, it's not like a thing. This is more of, you know, we're just having fun with this. You know, we still have a lot of listeners. We still have support from the community. You know, that to me, it's more about like, yo, I just love doing this. You know, now the stuff that I do on the side has nothing to do with GTR. That's different. You get what I'm saying? So, but like one of the coolest things that happened in my life is when, you know, I got married with Rihanna, and having Pete there, Mandy there was really cool. I wish Paris would have been. That would have been like the ultimate like get together. We haven't done that in so long. That would have been amazing if we all of us been together, man. But I hope we could do that, man. Get together sometime next year. Just celebrate our wins, man, that we've been doing it for a very long time, you know. I'll never forget sending Pete to his first event. He never went to an event. He was like, wait, what? You sending me where? You know, so.
I'm going to San Francisco to do what?
Yeah, what am I it was San Francisco. When I get
there, huh?
Yeah.
Figure it out.
So,
having my best interview that never recorded because I left my
That's
recorder.
Another one. At a bar.
At a bar.
Was that at a bar? Yeah.
Yeah, at the bar at Redwood Shores, you know, talking to the lead for Guitar Hero?
It was Rock Band. It was Rock Band.
It was Sean.
He used to work the Guitar Hero stuff, but they were working on Rock Band. Yeah,
I remember that. And we sat there and talked for an hour and a half. One of the best interviews I've ever done. Not knowing I was interviewing, we were just having a conversation,
and then it recorded,
and it never recorded. It was sitting on the bed in the hotel room.
Yeah, that was.
But I mean, look, it like you said, it, this is. I'm not funding a vehicle out of this. I don't pay for anything out of this. I do this as an opportunity to talk to my best friends in front of everybody.
Yep.
Like, most people would be doing this over FaceTime. We're doing this, you know, I'm doing this in the luxury of my living room or my bedroom now, right? Instead of doing it over the phone. That's all it is. This is not for me to pay for the vacations or the trips that I take off of. This is literally just a way for me to talk to my best friends outside of, you know, it's a dedicated opportunity for me to talk to my best friends. That's all it really is at the end of the day. And, you know, it's a conversation I get to share with you guys online.
Yeah. And believe it or not, guys, like all the support we've been getting, like, you know, I see people, resubs on Twitch and the ads on Audioboom and all that stuff. Every time you guys listen to the show, that money honestly is when I go to like an event or like, let's say Summer Game Fest or like, you know, stuff like that. I'll pay for like parking or going out to eat, you know, food like that. Or I'm still paying for Libsyn because I have thousands of episodes that is there on Libsyn that I don't want to lose it, you know, that people can still download it through the old GTR app. You could go back and listen to it. So that's what we use the money, plus the hosting that we have and the domain and all that stuff. Like, it's like minor stuff that we pay. It's not like we're like, oh, I'm getting rich with this GTR money. Like, it's not even like that, man, you know. But before we used to fly out, especially for me, I'll fly out from like all the way from Miami to LA. So I'll use that money for that too, you know. But now that I live here in Los Angeles, it's a lot easier to do things, you know. So, but yeah, hopefully we can still continue, you know. There's going to be a time where I can't be doing this anymore and Pete too and Paris, you know. It's going to happen one day in the future, you know. So, but as of right now, I'm pumped. I'm excited. This is super fun. Love to do interviews. Love to do all these things. You know, like a couple months ago, I got to meet in person the creator of Tetris. And he signed cartridge. And actually there at that same event, it was like for the 40th anniversary of Tetris, the event. And in there, you know, I was with my daughter. We're three, and I bump into Nolan Bushnell, you know, the founder of Atari, which, and a lot of people probably know this already, but Atari was like my first console. That's the reason why I got into gaming, you know. And I saw Nolan, and I was like, hey, Nolan, you're probably not going to remember me, but we met a couple years back at E3. He's like, oh, yeah, I kind of remember, you know. So, you know, we talked a little bit, but he started talking to Violet, our daughter. He's like, what was it he was saying? Like, he's like, oh yeah, it's me, Santa Claus. I'm like, what? But the Violet was just cracking up. She was just laughing the whole time, interacting with Nolan and all that stuff. And it was cool seeing that. But she doesn't know that he's the reason that I became a gamer playing his product when I was a kid, you know. So like, it's crazy how everything is connected. And I can't wait to share that to my daughter in the future. You get what I'm saying? Like, and also share this to the world, people that listen to it, man. You know, that's a lot of history in gaming, man. And the conversation we were having, Pete, about all these games that came out in the past and that doesn't exist is part of history, man. You know what I'm saying? So, like, there's games that probably doesn't exist that I would love for Violet when she gets older, for her to get that opportunity and play it. You know, Thirsty Panda, his baby, you know, 19 months, right? 19 months that he probably has games that want to also share that with his kid, you know? So it's just crazy how much history we have, you know? Just us doing things, man. Like, people will die to have the conversation with P had that never got recorded back in the days. You get what I'm saying? So it's a lot of history there, man, you know? So.
Yeah, this was all black hair. This was all black hair and everything.
Right here. All this, I had black hair. Actually, our podcast cover, if you actually look at it, yo, we were mad young there. We were like, you know, cover, black, all this, you know. It's different now. mm-hmm. It's a lot different now, man.
You know, man. So. Like Paris says all the time, man. Trey was a wee little lad. Like,
yeah.
Even his dog. Yeah. I remember when he first got his dog and we were getting over there, you were giving him the business for skew and everything.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Tanya. I got to see Tanya at the I'm reading the chat. We got to see each other during the Dragon Age event, you know, and we haven't seen each other like together. It's been years. Like either parents will see her or I will see her, but never together. You get what I'm saying? So it was cool. And actually, we went to Boston. I went to Boston for a wedding with Ree, and we got to meet for a couple hours. I got to hang out with Mandy, aka Lady Luck.
I want to say the last time I saw Tanya was all this stuff, man. Like the Far Cry event.
How GTR helped us in different ways. It helped us our career. It helped me to become a better speaker and less terrified to speak to in front of an audience, because when I was a kid, I was very scared, you know. And Paris too, Pete, right? Paris used to be like the same. He was like terrified to talk to like a big, huge crowd. And yo, on stage on Dice, you know, in front of hundreds and hundreds of people there at the audience and people watching from home, or, you know, the thing that he did at the game showcase, you know, certain things that you've been doing too, Pete, in the past. Like, I feel like the show helped us to grow in different ways. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yep. So.
GTR is important.
I'm going to blow Tanya's mind real quick. The last time her and I hung out was 2018. Danny, you were there. Because we sent this to Paris that day.
Oh my god. Wait, that was
Far Cry.
Yeah. So, yeah, by the way, I can't hear you for some reason.
I don't know. I'm here. But yeah, 2018, me, you, Q, Khalif, Tanya for the Far Cry event. So
yeah, I don't know what's going on with this thing.
I don't know. It's Riverside. Again.
I can't hear you. Probably the Twitch audience, I probably can hear you. Actually, hold up. Let me go back. Because I can't hear you.
Whatever. This is on you now.
Okay, now.
I haven't done anything, see?
No, I did. It works now. I had to do something. Now yeah. I can hear you.
2018. That was Far Cry 5 event.
Far Cry 5. That day was cold. Yeah. Oh my god, it was so cold. Yeah. Windy, cold. I remember taking shots with Pete because they had like a whiskey.
The whiskey tasting event. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like a little area that you could go in and try the drinks there, and it was part of the Far Cry. Yo, Pete, the podcast that we did for Far Cry 5, yo, that was amazing. That was an experience. That was an experience doing that with no script, didn't know anything about the story, and we were just like going along with the actors. That was crazy. And then at the end, the father captured us, and we had to make believe that Paris got captured and converted. Yo, it was nuts. Go listen to it. Hope County Stories.
Yep, Tanya, it's in your DMs and No, Thirsty, you can't blame it as P Productions because I'm not doing productions anymore. This is all Danny's.
That's all me, man.
Godfrey Productions for you.
That's all me, man. It's all me. It's all me. It's all good. Yeah. I think we should wrap it up. We've been doing this now for like an hour and a half.
I gotta take off. I got to leave in 2 minutes.
Wait, you fly out? You leaving the country again?
No. I got to take off. I got to go do something at the office. I'm like, I live 5 minutes from the office. I have to go.
Oh, that's cool. Real quick. Yo, I'll tell you this, Pete. When we go, when we visit over there, we got to do a podcast. This is your room.
I done been told you before. This is y'all's place. That couch folds out and fits four people on it. So,
well, here's what I would like to do. We got to go somewhere in the middle of nowhere. In the middle of the mountains.
Oh, I can do that. Background. That's easy.
We can do that.
Oh, that's easy. That's light work. Yeah. That's light work. It's like my LinkedIn picture. Overlooking all of the country.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
I can do that. Hold on. I already know exactly where we're gonna go to.
Wait, you're gonna send it?
No, I'll put it on screen just like I did earlier.
Yeah. We have a couple drinks and we have those mountains in the background.
Hell yeah. Hell be dope.
Yeah, because Rhea has never been to Europe. She has never been there. That would be her first time going over there. Yes. Group trip. Yeah, man. We definitely got to visit Pete. I mean, we've been talking about it. I think 2025, I think we could do it. We could definitely do it. All right, everyone. Thank you for watching episode 1373. Is it 73? Yes, I think it's 73. I don't remember. It's a lot of numbers, guys. It's a lot of numbers. Actually, yes, it is 73. We'll be back. We'll be back next time here.
We'll take a picture overlooking that.
That's dope. That's where is that located?
That spot. That's at the top of Mount Rigi, which is the queen of mountains here in Switzerland.
Ooh.
Either that, or we'll go to Interlaken or up into the Jungfrau and take you up to the highest.
Is it windy? Is it windy up there or no?
I mean, right now it's 15 degrees Celsius, so that's 15, 15. It's about 60 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
But I mean, depending on when you get here, like it could be anywhere from 32 degrees, which is close to 85, 90 degrees, or.
Oh, okay, cool.
It could be negative 12. It just depends on when you get here. Your call.
Yeah, I got to talk to Pete. I got to, not Pete, Rihanna. I got to figure that out.
Talk to management.
Talk to management.
Talk to management.
Yep. She's down. I know she's down. All right. All right, guys. We're going to be out until next time. By the way, be on the lookout either tomorrow or sometime this week. I got some cool stuff that I'm allowed to talk about. Just be on the lookout on X. Just follow me there. You'll see what I'm talking about. X / Twitter. / Twitter. Not Boogie, not Bronx.
X.
All right. All right, guys. Until next time. Thank you for listening. We're out. Peace. All right, so I'm going to be talking about the game that I've been playing now for the past couple weeks nonstop, and it could be my favorite indie game of the year, and that's Neva. A lot of people don't know this, but a couple years back, you know, I played this game called Grease. When that game came out, I was going through a lot of personal issues. That was the game that really helped me while I was going through a lot of stuff and a difficult time in my life, right? So I've always been thankful. And I remember hitting up the developers of that game and thanked them for that, you know? So when I heard the announcement about Neva, I was like, wait a minute, it's the same developers? Wait, hold on a second. What's going on? So I got to see the trailer, got super, super excited, and it has that type of vibe. Like, I feel like Grease and also Neva has like a very strong message, especially with this one. So yeah, Neva, it's about a character, her name is Alba, where her and also her companion, her wolf companion, they're going to be doing some adventure. You're going to see a lot of enemies, and the game from the beginning has been a very emotional ride. Love the hack and slash. There's also puzzles, everything, platform and all that, right? But I feel like the game is more than that. The music, the design, just everything is just beautiful, beautiful. And, you know, there is no dialogue in this, but just seeing that things that happens in the game, cinematics, and also while you're playing, like, I feel like they did a really great job at explaining about the game, about the main character to use and also your companion. But also, it breaks down all that stuff that I talked about, the identity, love, trust, and also courage too. The relationship through time, because you're going to have different seasons, but through time, you could tell that it's evolving, they're getting closer and closer, and they'll learn a lot about each other too. And yeah, Neva, like I said, this is one of my favorite games that I play this year. It's a very beautiful game. Graphics is just amazing, beautiful design. This is a gem. This is a gem. If you have a Steam Deck, Steam, PlayStation, Xbox, you need to try out this game. This is one of my favorite games of the year, a contender of indie game of the year. People definitely should check this out, man. Love this game so much, man. And like I said, this is a very emotional ride. From the beginning all the way to the end, people are going to love this. I think years from now, people are going to be talking about this. That's how good this game is. This game is like truly, truly a gem. Like this is something where people definitely need to check this out. You know, if you love the previous game, Grease, that the developer worked on, I think people are going to love this one even more. Soundtrack, top notch. I think it's a masterpiece. People need to check this out as soon as possible. And hopefully we get to hear the soundtrack on streaming services because it's really, really cool. Great music to just mellow out and just chill. And it works really, really well with the level designs in the game. So amazing, amazing game. Neva is something that people should definitely check it out. Neva.
listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.